It's a Friday afternoon. This is the third day of October. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us from Atchison, Kansas, is Mike Zuzulo to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, this morning I told you we had about 2.5 inches in the last storm. I think you can add 4,500ths to that and round it out to 3 inches. I talked to my brothers in the Springfield area earlier in the day. They had 4.5 inches, and I think you had a couple of good inches out there too, didn't you?
We did, and I talked to several of the Central Illinois people as well, producer clients, and they were reporting 2.5 to 3.5, some even by the El Paso area, getting upwards of that 3.5 to 4 inches in certain spots. And I actually think there was probably some that went over 4 inches, and they just don't want to say anything about it at this point based upon the radar return. So, you know, it's pretty damp, and the trade looked at that today, but I guess to kick off this afternoon's commentary, Todd, I was really struck by the Informa numbers. We kind of left it this morning with Informa coming out pretty soon before we got off the phone. It was real interesting. They jumped their yield to 176.4 bushels to the acre, but guess what? Their production number was no bigger than USDA's September figure. Because they took harvested acres down to 81.6 million. So that really ignited and freshened up that bean-corn spread unwinding that you and I were talking about earlier. So even though the freeze threat is still very much alive and kicking, noontime models still look very cold, and you would think that would have hit the bean market a little bit more than the corn market as far as threat to the production. It was the exact opposite because these Informa numbers were such a shock from a standpoint of a much bigger bean production number, but no bigger than USDA September figure for production.
Yeah, their bean number was over 4 billion bushels from the United States.
You know, and that's interesting because you're talking about 104 million more, roughly, than September USDA figures, and you take off about 30, 32 million from the old crop because of the stocks report this week. But you're still sitting roughly with 70 to 75 million bushels that you could tack on to September's 474 number if you don't change any demand. So you are looking at a 548, 545 carryover when you look at the Informa numbers, like I said, using USDA's demand and supply demand tables from September. So that, I think, does help explain why that bean corn spread unwinding got so solid and really gained traction after the numbers came out. And I will have to say, and I don't know if it was you I was talking to or someone else, but we are at almost a 2.9 ratio on the old crop bean corn ratio, and it's just hanging up here at this mid 2.8 to 2.9, and that's very high given the U.S. ending stocks and the fact that Brazil is looking at such a bigger production number of beans. So I think that's going to be one of the major players throughout the rest of this month.
Yeah, so what you're telling me is that has to change, and it has to come more in line, which is what, 2.3, 2.4?
Yeah, I mean, that's where we were last April, May, yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. And I think this kind of hurts the argument, and I've been part of the argument, so I'm kind of hurt with my analysis here, thinking that the beans could lead the corn lower. This spread would suggest, no, not necessarily. You could have the beans fall and the corn stay essentially where it's at. And I like that from a standpoint that the wheat was able to make its first weekly higher close and lead month for the first time in 5 weeks, and corn was able to make its first lead month higher close for the first time in 6 weeks. So that seems to gel in terms of the analysis side of the equation. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but you connect the dots in this type of work.
Yeah, so when you take into account, I want to put beans into some perspective here. From Monday, USDA and the grain stocks report told us that the ending stocks for last year will be 92 million bushels. That's a really low number. We didn't really think that that was even possible. There's a new pipeline bottom for you, right?
Yeah.
And now you're telling me that when you roll it all forward, you're looking, if Informa's numbers were correct, at something like 542 million bushels left in the bin by the time we get to the fall of next year. So just a huge contrast here.
It is, and you've got the increasing acres again of Brazil, and I think part of this is baked in. Part of this carryover number is baked in. My model would suggest that the 9.10 low that we put in and the $9 low that we went after this week, you were probably dancing around the 500 million bushel carryover number for price But if you're going to go above 515, 520 on the report, and I'm skeptical we will. I went back and I set my estimates up at noontime today because I wanted to see what 2009 looked like. And USDA only raised the bean yield 1/10 of a bushel in October versus September 2009, Todd. And I've got to say, maybe we talked about this morning, so I won't hit it hard, but I've got to say some of the bean yield numbers are not coming back that great in northern Indiana and as we get into central northern Illinois as well. It's not bad, and there's still good ones out there, but it's just not, you know, flabbergastingly great like it has been in some of these southern delta yields too. So I'm skeptical we can get to a 550 carryover, but I see where USDA has gone this year, and so next week's report could be one of those top-end numbers, and so you got to mentally prepare for it.
Yeah, so the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates are out a week from today, on Friday of next week. They'll be out at 11 a.m. Of course, we'll have all our coverage online at willag.org, and you can follow me on Twitter. I try to get that information out very quickly. It's also posted directly into the website, so you'll see the numbers on the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. This will be a big report if it follows suit of historical patterns, at least for corn, when the September report is larger in crop size than the August. The October tends to be even bigger, so there's maybe some fireworks yet to come still.
Absolutely right, and in October of 2009, we had about a 1.4% increase in corn yield versus the September number. So I think the trade is very ready for that. The price would suggest to me we're at nearly a 2.4 billion bushel carryover priced in at this stage of the game. But I think that the biggest issue for the corn market that the beans, quite frankly, maybe don't have, and this is what maybe ends up being the decision-making or breaking issue for whether you store beans or corn, other than the carrying charge, I think the demand historically can go much higher for corn versus beans. I went back and looked in the late 2000s today, and you know, we were shipping out 2.2 billion bushels of exports in corn back during those time periods of lower prices in the late 2000s. And golly, we were, you know, 1.4 billion in bean exports used to be high. 1.5 was super high, and now we're sitting with 1.75 after USDA September report. So can we really supercharge these exports and the overall demand that much more for the beans to soak up any extra carryover? So I think from that standpoint, and the demand standpoint in particular, the corn does look more appealing as you go into the more of the medium-term outlook.
I don't touch often on the livestock with you, any of you, because it's not in my wheelhouse. But some of these numbers on the livestock are truly amazing.
It's getting dangerous.
Yeah, the feeder cattle numbers are unbelievable.
Well, and you've got guys out there paying, and I know this for a fact, whether they're steers or heifers, 500 five-weight steers and heifers, guys are paying $3 to $3.15 a pound, and the DTN break-even number is between $2.25 and $2.50 in terms of what you can afford and break-even. And I think what that tells you, Todd, and I'm so glad you brought this up because it's kind of dangerous water here. It's thin ice territory here. I think these livestock producers are counting on, A, great demand, and, B, even lower feed grain prices. And if that grain market turns, not only will you not have those lower grain market prices to punch into your calculations, but you won't have the funds on your side either, because the funds have really been gangbusters buying the livestock and selling the grain. So we got to really watch for that spread to unravel, and that's what the most dangerous part of this is at this stage of the game. The farrow to finish guys, one of the guys told me today, he's making money at $55 live right now. That's less than $75 meat price. So you've got an enormous profitability in the futures price right now for the hogs. Why aren't we locking it in? Well, the idea is tight beef supplies are going to just keep taking pork prices higher and higher, and we've heard that before, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Hey, Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzalo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting.